Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord again this morning, and we are grateful to be gathered together with you. For an opening scripture this morning and a scripture that I want to draw my text from this morning, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 16. This morning, I was thinking the last couple of days as I was thinking about this morning, I thought of several things. There's a lot of thoughts that went through my mind. I had different things that I thought about sharing this morning. And I did think about, this morning is Easter, and thought about that. And if you're coming expecting an Easter message this morning, that's not what I have this morning for you all. But I trust that we can still be encouraged this morning in the few words that I have this morning. I'd like to share with you something that I've been thinking about for quite some time. And I've been thinking just about the simple, it's not simple, but the word pride. And I would be very thankful this morning if somebody else would be up here teaching on this subject, because I don't have it figured out, and in many ways fall short. And as I was studying these the last couple of days, thinking about this, I thought of so many areas in my own life that I see this little word called pride popping up in different places. And you know what? It affects us in so many ways. But before I talk much more, let's just read the text here and then we'll continue on. Let's actually start in verse 15. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and thy pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagles, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. So, as we consider what he's telling us here in verse 16, he says, thy terribleness, and we could put in thy greatness or thy your power, your might, or your strength, or many other things that we could put in that in the place of terribleness. But these people, from what we can gather, were people that lived in the rocks. I think Toby's family shared on this verse, or shared along the lines of this verse in one of our homeschool days last summer. But these people were dwelling in rocks. And you know, as you think of a rock fortress, you think of high mountains with rocks, and it says in the clefts of the rocks, you think of the power. You know, those people are in the rock. They're in maybe a little hollows in the rocks, and they carved into those things. And just a tremendous fortress that is there. But it says, they're deceived. That's what God had to say about them. He said, you're deceived in thinking that you're something really great. So we're going to I just want to look at a few different things. You know, pride, as I was thinking about it, you know, pride is spelled P-R-I-D-E, and there's an I right in the center of the word. And you know, many times when we think of pride in our lives, what is it? It's I, and it's I, and it's I. It's what I am. And I had to think of just a little story. Friday, I was out on the job. I was finishing up a small project, and the neighbor came over. He wanted to talk before I left, and he had wanted something from us. He had wanted us to build something for him, and long story short, we weren't going to do it for various reasons. But he wanted us to build an octagon for him, which is an eight-sided gazebo. That's what he wanted us to build, and it was just humorous to me to listen to him talk. He told me, the rafters could have been a little bit hard to cut on that deal, but he told me, he said, yeah, if you just set the post, he said, I think I could cut the rafters for it. I thought, yeah, you probably could. But just as we talked throughout that whole conversation, he talked about himself, And then he'd get this little smug grin on his face. You know, he talked about what he did and how he does it. And I just thought of what I'm going to be sharing about this morning, or what I'd been thinking about. And I just thought, you know, that man is so full of himself. You couldn't tell him anything. We had a good conversation and we had a good time together, just visiting about various subjects. But God has a lot to say about the pride. And if we turn to Isaiah chapter 14 in verse 12, and you don't have to turn. I have a number of scriptures here, and you don't have to turn to all of them. If you like, you're welcome to. But we hear this in these verses. It talks about Satan. It's talking about when Satan was cast out of heaven. And you know, the word pride and the word proud and exalt, and there's actually many words in Scripture that are the same word. In reading in verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." You know, that is what destroyed man's greatest foe today. It was pride. It was a desire to be like God. And as we think about that, I'd like to, if I can find my the right paper. Okay. There was just some thoughts that I wrote down, what pride does in the lives of our lives and in the lives of others. Pride is the tool in which turns men against each other. It turns men against each other in many ways, in competition, in money, in prestige and honor. It turns men against each other to compete, to be greater. It competes in various things, to greater stories, to greater tales, to bigger lives, it can be many things. It can even be in things of spiritual things that it can turn men against each other. It ruins lives, wrecks homes, destroys marriages and relationships. It kills joy and robs men of true happiness. It turns true friends or brothers and sisters against each other. It has ruined nations, destroyed men and families, and it continues its rampage across generations, nations, and churches, killing, destroying, bringing godly men to lay their head on its lap, on the lap of pride. It has put countless men into hell, and the devil looks on with a smile on his face at a job well done. You know, pride is a little thing. It is like a plant. You know, when you put a plant into the ground, the roots are rather small. They're really delicate. You got to be careful that you just put it in just right. If you break that root or break that stem just a little bit, that plant's going to be dead within hours. But pride is the same way. It's small, and it starts out very small in many cases. But it's a root. It's a root that goes down. And as it goes down and it gets watered and it gets fed, that root begins to grow. And what happens? Over time, those roots become bigger in this, whatever you want to call it, in the soil or in a little pot that many times we dealt with. But they go down there and those roots spread out. And after, you may look at it 3 or 4 weeks later and you pull that thing out, and that whole, where that little root was going into that soil, is now just a mass of white little veins running all the way around there. And you plant this, you could plant this in the ground. If you plant it in the ground, you try to pull that thing out. Those roots grow and you grab it and you pull on it, and you know what? It doesn't come out after a while, or it comes out really hard. And that's the way pride works. The more it gets fed in our lives, the more, the harder it is to free ourselves from it. This morning, I'm not trying to scare you I'm just wanting us to consider it together. To consider where this may affect our lives, to consider what we may be doing that is causing this thing to get a hold of us. And it's not that I'm seeing it in your lives. It's not that. It's just that I want to consider it. I see it in my life. I know it's there. I see areas in my life where I know that it's where I know that I have that sore in my life, that sin. In Proverbs 6, verse 17, it talks about I won't even turn there this morning. It talks about a proud look. You know, I had to think of that this morning. You know, what is a character? What is the attitude? How do I look? You know, it says a proud look in my demeanor, in my countenance, in my bearing, the way I carry myself around, and whether it's in front of you or in front, whoever it may be in front of. What is it a proud look? Is it a look of just an arrogance, of a put on, of a front, or just a that I've got it all figured out and that I'm all that I am who I am, and you can't touch me. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. I'll turn to this one. I don't have a real long talk this morning, but I just want to consider a few things. It talks about a look, a high look and a proud heart. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. It talks again about the high look, or the other verse it talked about a proud look. Here it talks about a high look and a proud heart. You know, what is our heart? What is the condition of our heart? Is our heart soft? Is our heart accepting what our brother has to say to us? Is our heart accepting advice, admonishment, correction? Or do we have a heart that is hardened? Or do we have a heart that says, don't tell me what to do. I've got it figured out. I know how to do this. I can do it just as well as you can. I know what I'm doing. Don't bother me. You know, what I just did there, there's nothing wrong with how I did it. It's just your opinion. It's just a matter of your thought against mine. No, that's a proud heart. That's a heart of pride. And that's one place that I know. You know, another place that pride comes out is somewhat in the Greek and in the Strong's definition of some of these words was self-exaltation. And you know, when do we exalt ourselves? Usually when we talk about other people. And a lot of times that's when it comes out. When we talk about other people, maybe they're wrong, maybe they're right. But that's when we exalt ourselves a lot of times. Or we talk about, I had to think of it, you know, this morning, sitting here, and I thought, when I'm with different people and we were talking about day-to-day subjects, am I one that listens or am I the one that's always talking? I'm always talking about, yeah, I did this last week, and I always want to share my opinion. I always want to share what I did, how I did it, what we do, how we did it. Some of that can be okay, but many times it is because I want to be noticed, because I want to be heard and to be seen and to be thought well of. Proverbs 28, verse 25, it says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. That's just part of the verse. The rest of the verse is, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And, you know, that goes along a little bit what I said earlier about when we talk about others and we talk about different things. And you know, sometimes there's a need to talk about things. I'm not saying that. But you know, he that is of a proud heart, he stirreth up strife. Now, how often do we stir up strife? Do we cause undue strife in our homes and in other people's lives? It says because we're proud. It says we have a proud heart if we do that. Excuse me. God's Word, it's interesting how often that these words are mentioned, how often this thought is mentioned in the Word of God. And when it is actually mentioned and when God talks about it in His dealings with it, He has nothing but a severe judgment for these things. And, you know, I think there's a reason for that. You know, if we are self-sufficient, if we're self-exalting, if we're proud, if we have our life all together, you know, there's really no way God can work with us. There's really no way that God can help us, because we're doing our own thing. And if God would help us, we'd probably turn around and use it for our own selfish benefit. God desires to have the glory, to have the honor, even in the smallest things. Even if you do something at work, and it's an accomplishment, something that you did at work, God desires the glory for that as well. He doesn't desire that you take that and run with it and lift up yourself, but rather that you're lifting up Him, His glory, and what He can do in the lives of those that trust in Him. In Jeremiah 50, verse 31 and 32, I'll turn there and we'll look at those, and then we'll just look at a few verses in the New Testament in closing. Jeremiah 50, verse 30 and 31. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 50, verse 31 and 32. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. It says that he says, I'm against you. And you know what greater, what could be, trying to find the word, if God is against us, that is an awful thing. That is an awful thing this morning if God is against us. But he says, I am against you, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come. You know, God has a way of dealing with men. And He has a way of dealing with me and you and myself and each one of us. That is a way that He will take care of us. He will work out those things in our lives. And I'll also say this morning that if you have a heart that desires to be humble, to be broken, to be contrite, to walk with God, God will bring things in your lives that will work these things out. And it's not that we need to be afraid or need to always be cowering in fear. You know, am I proud? We need to consider those things. But God has a way of dealing with you in a very gentle way. And if you're not dealt with, if God cannot work with you, He'll use harder things. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that cares this morning. He's not a God that is angry and He hates sin, and yet He deals with us in such a gentle way. And I have to think of that, you know, too, this morning. You know, how God deals with us so gently, and how I deal so harshly with people that may cross my path or may do things that are not right. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, it talks about humbling ourselves. It talks about humbling ourselves under God's hand, putting ourselves under, to bow our hearts, to bow our minds, to bow our wills under the hand, the mighty hand of God. In James 4, verse 6, it says that God gives grace to the humble. And there was just a few things that I wrote down about this verse. It says He gives grace to the humble. You know, there is grace available for you this morning. There is grace available for each one of us today if we want to walk in humility. But like I said earlier, if we're not willing to walk humbly, then God cannot deal with us. He cannot tolerate that pride. And we see that in where we read earlier in Isaiah verse 14, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. You know, Satan was cast out of heaven because he desired to exalt himself, to lift up. and to put himself above God. In 1 John 2:16, this is a very familiar verse. It says it talks about the pride of life. And you know, that's what I had to think about this morning. You know, pride influences men. It works itself out in one man, and then it influences the other man. And it is like a cancer that goes on in our society today, where men compete and are competitive. And he has this, so I have to have that. And really, pride encapsulates the whole American dream. That's where it all falls into that category. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, it talks about a poor and a contrite spirit. And this is a verse that I would like to have help on understanding. I understand a few things about it. But how truly does the Christian look that is of a poor and a contrite spirit? And if somebody could explain that to me, I would be glad to hear your thoughts on that. I have a few thoughts. One would be that it's not that we go around beating ourselves over the head or with a long face. But it's rather a spirit that is of no pretense. It is a spirit that is just open and honest before God and before men, and it learns and it listens, and it is a servant, and not a lifter up of itself. That's about all I have for you this morning. I just want to consider that, and I want you all to consider it in your lives. But I also want you to. If it appears in my life, I want you to talk to me about it, because it is a thing that needs to be dealt with. And I will just say that I know that there's areas that I need to change in these things, because it is something I want to take care of. And I just thank you all for listening. And it is a little shorter this morning, but I hope that you can be encouraged, and also just consider some of these things. Thank you.